Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back author of Zero Hour and editor of Economy and Markets. Welcome back, Harry S. Dent Jr.
Nice to be back, Chris.
Your ominous view on equities paid off, at least in the last couple of months. This after 10 years of higher prices. Tell us more.
When I look at bubbles, the only way you can see that a bubble has finally burst, unfortunately, is when you see a really sharp crash. And it typically is 30 to 50% in 2 to 3 months. I mean, the average is 42% the first 2.6 months. So once the bubble ends suddenly, and so every time we see what looks like a top, like January 2018, well, I look and see, okay, are we having a correction, which means 10 or 12%, maybe even 20%? Well, that's not the end of the bubble. I'm looking for 30, 40% at least in the first 3 months. We didn't see that in early 2018. So I said, you know what? That's not a top. Well, we had the same thing here. We see another top. We start to see some corrections and some scary days. But here we are. We're 2 months into this correction, and we've only been down about 12% at worst, and it's starting to rally. So I'm saying, you know, this is looking like a correction. Our best forecast, we've had scenario one and two for our subscribers in the last several months, and scenario one was a peak in late 2018 in the beginning of a bigger crash. And now I'm in scenario two is, nope, we get a correction, and then we see one more leg up probably into around the third or fourth quarter of 2019, and then that would be a peak on our biggest cycle. It's a 90-year, I call it the bubble buster or great reset cycle, which would be similar to 1929 to 32 crash. So that's my forecast now, is that I think we've seen the worst of this correction. We may see a little more unless something goes really bad, really quick. This is not a top back in September. So, you know, we're going to see another leg up. It's possible that it could peak in early 2019, but my cycles would suggest at this point the most likely time for a top would be, like I said, somewhere between September and late next year, 2019. And then you see a crash on an almost exact 90-year lag to September 1929 into July 1932, and probably a similar magnitude, 80% or something. I'm still holding to that. This is the biggest bubble in history, and when it crashes, it's not going to be 40 or 50% like or in 2000 to 2002 or 2008 to 9 or the 70s. It's going to be 80% plus.
That was not at all what I was expecting to hear today because of the bearishness from our guests. I was expecting, you know, to say, yeah, that was it in September. We've seen the top. It's over. But it parallels my thoughts. There was so much pent-up upward momentum on way too many cycles, no matter what cycle you look at, whatever fractal period you observe, that until that's wrung out of the system, it doesn't matter how much true fundamental bearishness there is. There are still the cycles to contend with, and it seems like your work parallels mine, that not until the Fed's probably finished with this rate cycle, you seem to think that might be it, period, for the markets. That also coincides with Martin Armstrong. He sees something similar in his models. That can't be good for the overall global economy or domestically. Tell us more.
Of course it's not good. And our two key dates in our cycles, you know, we had a major demographic cycle peak in late 2007. And, of course, we had the GFC, the Great Recession, and all this stuff. And it was global and, you know, debt bubbles popping and some real estate bubbles popping. And nobody saw that coming. That was the baby boomers peaking in their spending. And just that slowing in momentum started to expose the debt problems. Well, then in 2009, central bank stepped in, led by the Fed, and just exploded money printing to offset what could have been a Great Depression. I think, you know, that was a time when our indicators said we could have had a much deeper. Now, we had the deepest recession since the Great Depression, but it wasn't a depression. It wasn't allowed to get that bad. We just got like 11% unemployment. I mean, a depression's more like 15, 20, 25%. And deflation in prices, which we only got a little bit of. So that kind of Great Reset is due, because we've been in the biggest bubble in real estate and stocks and commodities globally, and commodities is the only bubble that has burst. Stocks and real estate still have to burst and come down to reality. So our next big cycle date is 2019. That's more of a technology cycle, and it's a 45-year cycle, and every two cycles you get a bigger bubble because, like, electrical appliances were built on by PCs and internet, and you know, steamships were built on by railroads as a transportation revolution. So every 90 years, we've seen the biggest bubble. We had the biggest bubble crashes in U.S. history were 1837 to 1842, and then 1929 to 32, and then on that 90-year cycle, that would hit in late 2019.
A 90-year cycle, I mean, that makes even Kondratiev's cycle seem tame by comparison. There's going to be, as far as the statistical dates of getting this timed correctly, there's a lot of plus or minuses on either side.
Yes, exactly. The cycle before the 19, all the bottoms have been 1842, 1932, and I've been projecting a bottom 2022 for demographic reasons and other cycle reasons. We have 20 and 40 year cycles that come in there, so it's not just, so 2022 has always been a key time for bottom for me, so I'm just, my best guess is yes, late 2019, that would give this leg another year up. You know, if this is just a correction, it'd be some, you know, we'd get another rally kind of like we got from early 2018 into late 2018. We get that sort of rally one more time. We get a Dow maybe 30,000 or a bit higher, and then we have this more pronounced crash. If we don't have it by 2022, I don't have any negative cycles for a while. So that would mean somehow that central banks have created a magic wand and we don't have to have bubbles reset and debts restructure anymore.
Let's talk about central banks, at least if we can believe their rhetoric. They'll be wrapping up their rate hiking cycle. Probably mid-summer next year, we're probably looking at three more rate hikes. You can believe the Fed Funds futures of the CBOE right now. We've got one more in December to go, and then another 75 basis points next year. But, you know, we're also hearing from the other key central banks that have been deeply in the negative on their overnight lending rates, you know, 3.75% of the PBOC, as well as the BOE and many others, especially the European Central Bank. So with them reversing course and now from a quantitative easing to quantitative tightening, that's the QT is their big mantra lately. How does that factor into your cycles? Because I know you look at more than just the technicals. You also observe the fundamentals.
Yeah, we do. And we've got a great chart that shows the global net bond purchases. And, you know, and they peaked, I think, in 2017, led by the U.S. The other countries are reluctantly cutting back their bond purchases, even intending to sell off. But the U.S. is into the selling stage, you know, $50 billion a month. That projects that we'll get back down, we'll kind of wash out this excess by early 2000. We'll get to zero money printing, basically, bond purchases by early 2020. So that's another indicator that says this should come to a head by the first quarter of 2020. That would be a time where a recession would be very, very likely to hit, and stocks tend to be ahead of a recession. So that's another thing that points to that to me. Another thing I look at is the last time real estate sales and prices. I was just in Australia on a 5-city tour, and they brought me out there twice in 1 year, which is much more than usual because real estate's starting to crack there, even though the economy's great and they got, you know, unbelievable growth and immigration. It's just prices are too high and they're cracking on their own bubble. And that tends to lead. Last time the real estate sales peaked in late 2015, I think it was July 2015, prices peaked in April 2006. Stocks didn't peak until October 2007, but much later, so it kind of the whole thing was led by almost 2 years by real estate. And by the time, one of the leading indicators, and I'm tracking this now, the Dow Home Construction Index was already down 65% when stocks peaked in October 2017. That should have been a warning signal. They're down 35% recently. So if that keeps falling while stocks keep rising, that's going to be another sign that this bubble is getting ready to peak and burst. But it can go much lower. Last time it was down 65% before the stocks got it. So stocks can stay up in a bubble longer than real estate because real estate's real. Real people largely have to buy and live in real estate. Real businesses have to buy, lease, or operate in real estate. But stocks and cryptocurrencies and tulip bulbs and stuff, they can get more overvalued in times like this. And what I see, Chris, is that all the signs are on the wall. We've had this short-term growth surge from tax repatriations and all this sort of stuff. That's not going to last. I show that the average baby boomers peaked in 2007, but my latest research from a new source, PayScale, shows that the college-educated full-time workers peak at age 57 before they fall off. That is this year. So we're going to see a second demographic hit. And the reason this group is so important, they're only 20-25% of the population, this elite group, but they earn about double, and they spend 50% of the money. So this is going to be another hit to the economy, another headwind for Donald Trump and his 4-5% growth, which I've been telling our subscribers, this is impossible to sustain. Our workforce growth, because of the aging of the baby boomers, is going to be flat for the next decade and grow at 0.2. Now, that's 0.2% at most in the decades to follow. Productivity peaked in the late 90s at 3% and is now at 0.5% because aging workers do not grow in productivity as much as younger ones. So this, again, aging of baby boomers. And my projections show it'll go to zero or slightly negative in the next decade. So we have pretty much 0-0.5% fundamental growth.
I've been looking back at history, pointing to Smoot-Hawley. We had a huge front running where all the executives had to stock up before the tariffs hit. And then you see an economic boost. The stock market benefited at least for 6 to 12 months ahead. And then you have the hangover. I'd like to know, is that what you think we've just gone through? Or does the hangover start in the end of 2019? Or is this merely a negotiations ploy?
Yeah, I mean, we did get an initial surge from money coming back and also people stockpiling. So that's going to be more temporary and it's going to go the other way. Most economists, even normal economists, think 2019 is not going to be as fast as growth. Also notice, in the 1929 top, two things happened. Started to restrict immigration like we're doing and trade tariffs. The same two things at the top of a bubble. Both of those things are bad for the economy and help to pop the bubbles. Now, cryptos to me, I've got a bubble model on everything, and everything's been following it beautifully except for gold, which is basing out higher than I would have thought, and cryptos at first around 6,000 basing when they should have fallen to 1 to 2,000, but then they fell out of bed. So I think one of the things that could happen, I think it's still possible that cryptocurrencies are bottoming here or could bottom at about 25 to 2600, which would be similar to the 2013 to 15 bubble crash. People don't realize it looks small now. That was an equal size. So I see this last thing as like a third wave up, a fourth wave potential crash. And we could see, especially if the stock market does hold, I've been waiting to see if scenario two works.
There's been such a strong tie to the bubble in equities, the cryptos. You can't ignore that. However, most bubbles tend to return to at least their starting point.
I agree, and that's where I see it going down ultimately. I think it could go to 25,000 plus because part of what happens, and this happened, the internet stocks, when they were young and in this hype stage, had nothing, but they were the next great thing, they went up and bubbled between late 98 and early 2000. They had a hype bubble like this and then crashed 95%. I think this one more wave up could complete this hype stage of the cryptos. Then they come down to reality like internet. Internet stocks crashed 95%. Looking at blockchain as Internet 2.0, that about 2035, 36, this will be a big, much more mature industry. Surviving firms will end up converting their coins into token securities, and then they'll have to pay some regulations. But that's okay with me because it helps the industry. I do think it has long-term potential. Internet 2.0, it makes the Internet better.
That's the blockchain side. But then there's the monetary side, the currency side, because let's remember, this is peer-to-peer money. It should have been here 20 years ago. They blocked it. You should be able to email or text people money. It should just be that easy and that secure.
My whole thing for the whole network information age and revolution, bottoms up everything, not top down. I would love to see currency be created, like you said, peer-to-peer by consumer transactions rather than central banks always trying to manipulate their economies. This is where we get in trouble. This bubble is twice as long and twice what it should have been if governments had just let it happen naturally. We wouldn't have, this thing is going to be the worst crash in history. Governments manipulated.
So true. Can you tell people about your services?
go to harrydent.com and get on our newsletter. Economy and Markets is our free newsletter. We have some paid newsletters, but the best thing, get on our on Economy and Markets. You just put in your email, and you're on our free newsletter. You can get to know it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.